Good morning. Happy New Year. I want to say a brief thank you to you and to your pastors who insisted that my family travel to be home for Christmas for the first time in 5 years. It was a restful time, and we missed you, and we're very happy to be back and are really ready to serve alongside you. We're thankful for you. We're excited for what the Lord has in store for us. So really grateful for you, and thank you for sending us home. It was a good trip, restful, and I'm really excited about what we're talking about this morning. So we are starting the letter to the Ephesians. It is a letter from the Apostle Paul to Ephesus. And I've already scheduled out the whole year. I'm really excited about how it's going to land. We're going to wrap up Ephesians on the first Sunday of Advent in December, and we're starting Ephesians today. So what we're doing is I thought that it would be really good to spend the first day of the year focusing on the blessings that we have in Christ. And so today we're going to read through the text that Eric just read. We're going to look at all of the blessings that we receive as those who are in Christ. And I hope that that will really excite us and gear us up as believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit to live in obedience to the commands of Scripture and to exhort one another to obedience to the commands of Scripture, which is what Ephesians equips us and tells us to do. And so next week, we're going to do a big overview. We're going to kind of backtrack and do an overview of the whole letter, and then we're going to march through Ephesians for the rest of this year. I'm very excited about it. And so this morning, what I want to draw your attention to is all of the blessings that we have as those who are in Christ, okay? And so as we look through this text, I want to give you 3 points. I'm going to give you the 3 points up front. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It'll help you keep track of where we are. And so I want to give you 3 points to help us see what this text is really driving at, okay? To help us see the blessings that we have in Christ. So the first point is going to be the blessings we have in Christ. We're going to look through that. We're going to see, we're going to name them, the scriptures, the blessings that the scriptures give us, the blessings that we have in Christ. The second point is going to be why they must come through Christ. So we have blessings in Christ. Why must they come through Christ? And the third point is what this causes us to do. When we see all the blessings that we have, what does this call us to do? Namely, to bless our God. So those are our 3 points. Let's jump right in. The first point is blessings that we have in Christ. So let's look at this text. And the first thing that we need to realize is the fact that all of the blessings that we have are only ours. How? In Christ. So let's look at our text. Before we look at any of the blessings that we have, let's look at what Paul says over and over and over and over again. Everything that we have that is a blessing of ours is only ours in Christ. We see that phrase either in Christ or through Christ 10 times in these few verses. So let's look at it. In our first verse, it says, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, he says, even as he chose us, how? In him, that is in Christ. In verse 5, he says, he predestined us for adoption as sons. How? Through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he has blessed us, how? In the Beloved, that is Jesus. In verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. So how do you have redemption? It is in Jesus. In verse 9, it says, God's purpose is set forth in Christ. In verse 10, it says, all things are united in him, that is in Jesus. In verse 11, it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. In verse 12, we are those who hope in Christ. And in verse 13, in him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Do you see that everything good that comes to you as a believer only comes through you? How? Through Christ. It is in Jesus. It is only in Jesus that you have these blessings. We have not received any blessing outside of those that we have received in Jesus. And I want to point out also that in our verse, our first verse in verse 3, it says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So when we look at these blessings, you need to realize that we don't have a withholding God. He's not up there saying, I'm going to give you these blessings, but not these. You have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place through Jesus Christ. So let's look at these blessings. In verse 4, it says that you have been, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world to be made into a child of God. Is that not an amazing blessing? Chapter 2 of Ephesians calls you what? You were once children of disobedience, children of wrath, but you have been made into a child of God. You were chosen. Verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So we adopted our son Boaz. We adopted him from Pennsylvania. It was just random agency contacted us, and they were like, hey, this lady's in labor. You need to come get this baby. And when we got there, it was freezing. And this kid hates cold weather. So we went to the mainland, and we were in the mainland, and he was freezing the whole time, and he hated it. And so just think about how blessed he is not being in Pennsylvania. He is in Hawaii, where he thinks that 70 degrees is cold, and he never experiences freezing, right? How blessed he is. You are those who have been taken out of the world, and you have been made into children of God. Is that not a blessing? Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. You have been blessed in or with the glorious grace of God. You are not receiving any grace from God apart from Christ. And this grace, if we continue looking through Ephesians in verse 7 and 8, it says, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon you. This grace that you have been blessed with is being lavished upon you. Is it not a blessing? In verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So we are, as finite little weak humans, given access into the grand mysteries, the glories of the plan of the God who spoke the universe into existence. Is that not a blessing? You are not left to think about, oh, how are we created? What is our purpose? What's our meaning in life? You know it. You are given access into the mysteries of God. You have been blessed with insight. And we're going to study this more in chapters 2 and 3 about how we were all united to God and with all the saints through Jesus Christ. Is it not a blessing? In verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So you've been designated an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. So when you think about worldly inheritance, you think about, well, it depends on how well your parents did, right? If they were very rich, you have this great inheritance. But do you have to split that inheritance with a bunch of siblings? Is it going to be taxed heavily by the government? Like, it's not a super secure inheritance, even if it's a really secure inheritance. But what you have in Jesus is an eternal inheritance. And you have been saved for the purpose of being the subject of an eternal lavishing of grace from your Father. That is your inheritance in Christ. And in verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So in Christ, you become a source of and a reason for praise to God and his glory. Do you see that? If you've believed the gospel, you are now a reason for praise to God. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So in Christ, all who believe the gospel become sources of and reasons for praise to God, and in Christ you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So not only are you told you have an inheritance, a glorious inheritance in Christ, an eternal lavishing of God's grace upon you for all of eternity, but you're sealed with the Holy Spirit to ensure you that that is true, that that is real. It can't be taken away from you. It's yours in Christ. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Are these not an amazing set of blessings that we have in Christ? Is it not an amazing circumstance for us to think about all the things that we have in Jesus? We are a blessed people. You should, when you walk through those doors on Sunday mornings, you should refer to one another, "Good morning, blessed child of God. Good morning, blessed brother and sister in Christ." You should call one another blessed ones. "Good morning, blessed one." That is who you are. That is your identity in Jesus. You have an outstanding wealth and treasure in the grace of Christ. And it is yours for all of eternity. And it can't be taken away from you. You are a blessed people in Christ. These are the blessings that we have in Christ. So let's look at why they must come through Christ. Why they must come through Christ. Why must you be in Christ? 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also Christ, so as also in Christ shall all be made alive." So that's where we are. If you are in Christ, all of these blessings are yours. If you're not in Christ, you're in Adam. And by Adam, all die. The story of the Bible is that we were created by God to bring Him honor and to dwell with Him in holy fellowship, uninhibited by anything. And our father, Adam, was tempted to sin, and he fell, bringing a great curse on the whole world. So we see that in Ephesians chapter 2. Later in the book, we're going to study this later, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." All of mankind is separated from God because of His infinite holiness and our own great sinfulness. That is the human state outside of Christ. If you are not in Christ, you are in Adam, and you are called dead in your trespasses and sins. If you are not united to Jesus, you are opposed to Jesus. You are marked by the curse. You are marked by unrighteousness. Not only are you not blessed by God, you are cursed by God. You are under a curse. God is righteously angry with all who have sinned and failed to honor His holiness. Ephesians 3:15 calls this the dividing wall of hostility. So the kind of relationship and unity with God that you read about here in Ephesians 1, where we're lavished with the riches of the grace of God, where the mystery of His will is no mystery to us, where all things in heaven and things on earth are united. These are things that are impossible because of the brokenness of man. These are things that are impossible because of the holiness of God. The only way to reconcile God and man is for man to atone for his sin. It's for man to cover the debt of his sin to God. But man can't atone for sin. There's too much. The debt is too great. The gap between God's holiness and man's unrighteousness is too far of a bridge. In fact, we're not even inclined to try to cover our sins because we're called dead in our trespasses. In this state, we find ourselves separated from God and unable to reconcile. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So let's continue reading in Ephesians 2. So we read the first part where it says, you're dead in your sins, right? And in verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have, apart from Christ, nothing. You see that? Apart from Christ, we have nothing. Let's consider some of the things that you might get in this life, apart from Christ. So what's the best that this world has to offer you? Is it money? It's kind of like the most obvious thing, the most boasted about. It's hard to get money, right? We all know that. It's hard to get money. You can't take it with you when you go. It's comfort. It's the most felt when it's lacking, right? It's somewhat obtainable. You can generally find some measure of comfort. But it's going to become less manageable as you get older. There will come a time when there is no more comfort. Is it adventure? That's probably like the most admirable thing, like especially for young people. It's like Instagram influencers are out there climbing rocks and taking selfies and making a big deal about adventure, but you're limited by your resources, right? And there's going to come a time where you can't adventure anymore. And you're the whole time you're doing it, you're adventuring in a fallen world. Is it relationships? This is kind of what's seen as the pinnacle of life, having like what life has to offer you. It's relationships. But whether it's as shallow as sexual promiscuity or as deep as the longest marriage, we are at our core relational beings. We're created for community. We're created to be in relationship. So it might be the most fulfilling, but relationships are hard, right? They get broken. People leave. What this world has to offer you is nothing without Christ. If you take away the blessings of Christ, then the things of this world are going to fall short. They're going to fail to give you joy. They're going to fail to bring you fulfillment. So I'm going to give a brief football illustration for you guys. So I just visited Alabama, where, so football is a big deal here, but in Alabama it's an idol, like it's literally an idol. So my high school, it's kind of a small school out in the country, and every year the booster club for my high school, which is a small school, they throw a raffle. It's kind of its big fundraiser, and there's like raffles and small games inside the raffle, and typically it raises about $50,000 for the football team, right? So $50,000 is a lot of money to spend on football. The booster members get to support the team, they win prizes, and it just benefits, like the school gets new uniforms, new helmets, equipment, weights, and stuff like that for training for football. Small school, Alabama, $50,000. It's a lot of money. In my mind, it was a lot of money. But let's put that in perspective, because Alabama, the state, is also home to the University of Alabama, right? Auburn. So football is a huge deal. Nick Saban, I think, is still like the second or third highest paid coach in the NCAA. He made about $9 million last year to coach football. That's just his salary. So the Crimson Tide Foundation, which is a booster club, right, for the University of Alabama, like the University of Alabama needs a booster club, they paid $3.1 million for a house in Tuscaloosa, which was gifted to Nick Saban in 2019. Saban makes over $800,000 a year in endorsements and sponsorships from banks, real estate companies, car dealerships, Affleck Insurance, Warner Brothers Studios, things like that, all to coach college football. Now, what's the difference between my little high school and the $50,000 fundraiser and Saban? Like, we're just talking about what they're paying the coach. Can you imagine how much money they spend on that program? What's the difference? It's the source. The source is the difference. The source for my high school is a bunch of poor redneck people in Munford, Alabama, who scrapped together money to buy football equipment. The source for the University of Alabama is the booster club and state funding and all of the revenue from the games and ESPN, and it's this infinite amount of money. And the source of your benefits, your rewards, your blessings, is absolutely key to the quality of those benefits, rewards, and blessings. So what's the source of your benefits this morning? What is the source of your benefits? Are you banking on this world to bring you fulfillment? Are you banking on the things in this life to provide you joy? Are you blessed here through means that you can produce, through things that you can go and buy, through people that you can go and meet? If it is, what you have apart from Christ is ultimately unfulfilling, fading, temporary. It's going to disappoint you, and it will never fully satisfy you. And what you have in Christ is a lavish and extravagant, eternal, all-satisfying, unfading glory. What you have in Christ is infinitely better than anything you could ever have apart from Christ. So let's look at our third point. What does this cause us to do? We've looked at the blessings that we have in Christ. We've looked at why they come through Christ, why they must come through Christ. So our third point this morning is what this causes us to do. What does this cause us to do? It causes us to bless our God. And this is something that we don't talk about a lot. We don't use that terminology, bless God, right? So this section of scripture is, so I know we've talked a lot about the blessings that we have, but that's not the point of this section of scripture. The point of this section of scripture isn't designed primarily to instruct you on all the blessings that we have in Christ, though it does instruct us, and we learn a lot about the riches of Christ towards us through studying this text. But the primary purpose of this text is to bless God. So in the same way that the primary goal of our singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs is not to instruct you about the things we're singing, the primary purpose of those is to bless your Father, bless God. Paul is blessing the Lord. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point of this whole section of Scripture. The way that he's doing that is by pointing out all of the good ways the Lord has blessed us. So, have you seen that before? Maybe in the Psalms? Blessing God is at least partially declarative praise, to the praise of his glorious grace. We've seen that. We see that expression three times in our text this morning. So in verses 6, 12, and 14, we see to the praise of his glorious grace. So the reason that you are blessed, were chosen, are being made holy and blameless before him, were predestined for adoption, is to the praise of his glorious grace. The reason that you are redeemed, lavished with his grace, forgiven, given insight into the mystery of his will, and united to Christ is to the praise of his glory. The reason you were given an inheritance and sealed with the Holy Spirit was so that he would receive honor and glory. It was to the praise of his glory. Do you see that over and over and over again in this text? So the whole point of this text isn't about how blessed you are, but how blessed God should be. The whole point of this text is for you to read and just be bombarded by how incredibly, inconceivably, unfathomably blessed you are in Jesus, and it to result in you saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the point of this text. That's what the blessings that you have in Jesus should produce. A heart that overflows in gratitude. A heart that overflows in praise and wonder and awe and blessing to your Father. Your highest calling is to bring glory to your God. And one very real way that you are called to do that is by following Paul's example here in blessing the Lord. And as modern Christians, we've kind of forgotten that. We think our highest calling is to come and be blessed. Right? That's why we pick out the poppiest tunes and the fanciest lighting, and that's why we have self-focused systems and structures in church. And saints, listen, the reason you come here this morning, and if the reason you come here this morning and every Sunday morning is to gain some emotional high or happy feeling, or if you're coming out of some sense of obligation, or if you're coming to atone for sin, it's going to fall short. The whole reason that you come here is to say together, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." My inheritance is every spiritual blessing. And the truths that overflow and spill out of me in praise to God, the Father, and His Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Blessed be my God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does all that you have received in Christ Jesus result in you blessing the name of the Lord? Because it should. It must. And if it's not, we're missing something. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We have over and over, especially in the Old Testament, examples of the blessing of the Lord. This is what we are called to do when we gather together as saints on Sunday mornings. And my goal this morning is that you would see this, all the things that you have, all the things that you've been given in Jesus, and that you would have great joy with your unity with Christ, and that it would result in an overflowing in your heart, and that you would say together, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that you would say to one another, "You are so blessed in Jesus." I have a few points of application to help us apply this. I really want us to be able to move forward blessing the Lord. So the first point of application is really simple. Or it's really simple to know. It's not simple to do, right? There's a lot of applications like that, right? It's simple to know what you need to do, not necessarily the easiest to actually go and do. The first point of application is that you need to recognize how blessed you are. You need to recognize how blessed you are. So look at what you have in Christ. Not only have you been saved from eternal death, but you have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Let the blessings you have in Christ put everything else into perspective. Everything should be put into perspective by what you have been given in Jesus. So listen, saint, are you stuck in that sin? Is there that sin that clings close? That sin that you cannot overcome? You need to see that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than that sin. The answer to fighting sin is not thinking about how terrible you are and how wicked your heart is and how much work you got to do to change yourself. The answer is by delighting in the goodness of Christ. All right, January 1st, first sermon, coffee illustration, here it comes. Okay, so I love coffee. I don't need coffee. Okay, if I needed caffeine, I could get it cheaper and more easily than grinding the coffee and then heating the water and then pouring the, I have a scale. It's a Bluetooth scale. It's really fancy. It goes to my phone. It's the Brennans know. It's a process. It takes time. There's easier ways to get caffeine. The reason I do coffee the way that I do is because I delight in coffee. Tastes good. Makes me happy. We'll talk about it. The answer, Christian, is delighting in Jesus. That's how you overcome sin. Are you disappointed with your worldly circumstances? See that Jesus has given you incomprehensible wealth in Himself. Let the blessings of Jesus set your circumstances into perspective. Is your heart cold toward God? Look at this. Look at what He has given. Let the blessings of Christ warm your heart towards God. Let the blessings you have in Christ put your prayers into perspective. So we have some sons. My middle son is your typical 9-year-old in that he's just like going to ask for everything. If he wants it, he's going to be like, hey, can I have that? Can I have that thing you're eating? Can I do this? Can I do that? He's just constantly like this barrage of questions. Can I have it? My oldest son is, I don't know, it's like he's trying to protect himself from disappointment all the time. So he's just like, he asks things like, so we've probably played too much video games today. Yeah. Or like, I've probably had too much sugar today. I shouldn't have any sugar, right? And it's almost like I just want to be like, buddy, do you think that I don't want you to have good things? I look at your life. Like, my whole life revolves around providing for you and giving you good things. And as Christians, I feel like a lot of times we want to set ourselves up to where we're not disappointed. Oh, it would be too good for God to restore that marriage. So, it would be too good for God to bring healing in these circumstances. It would be too good for God to save my husband. We just need to place our hope in eternal blessings. Don't get your hopes up. But do you see the eternal blessings? Do you see what you have been given in Christ? Is that coming from a stingy God? Or is that coming from a lavishing God? Get your hopes up. When you pray, you have a lavishing, kind Father who loves to answer prayer, and unanswered prayer can't disappoint you because of all that you have in Christ. Let the blessings you have in Christ put obedience into perspective. So we're going to go through a lot of theology in the first 3 chapters of Ephesians. And in the last few chapters of Ephesians, it's heavy application, okay? So we're going to talk about parenting, we're going to talk about marriage, we're going to talk about work, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, and it's going to be really, really practical application from theology. And some of it's hard. But it's not hard when you consider what Christ has given you, what you have in Jesus. All that Christ calls you to will seem heavy and stale and dry and taxing if you are finding joy and purpose from the world. But if your joy and purpose is found in the things of Jesus, obedience will bring you joy. So recognize how you are blessed. Second point of application this morning is bless the God and Father of your Lord. Bless God. That's a weird, it's just weird to say that, right? We don't say that often. Like, so I'm from Alabama, and in the South, the only time you hear that is like from bless your heart. Have you guys ever heard that expression? Bless your heart. And our bless her heart. Our, I recently went back for the first time in a long time, and they've just shortened it to bless. Bless. Bless him. And it's just like, oh my God, what does that mean? And a lot of times it comes in the context of, like when I was growing up, it would come in the context of like gossip. So it'd be like, she did this, 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 and she was this, bless her heart. And it's just like, that is not blessing. It's just foreign to us. But you are called to bless God. Praise your Father. Extol the name of God. Bless his name. And you can do that in a lot of ways. I'm going to give you some really practical ways to do that. Okay, I'm going to give you some really practical ways to bless God. The first way that you can bless God is in your speech. So I, for some reason, I don't know why, but for a while I was in this habit of when people would say, how are you doing? I'd say like, I'm good, I'm busy. That, I don't know, I just felt like I'm good wasn't good enough, so I needed to fill it in a little bit. So I would say like, I'm busy, I'm good, things are busy. Small talk, I don't know, like. But instead, let your speech be seasoned with, I am so good, the Lord has blessed me. The Lord is so good. Praise God for the things that he has done. Or when someone tells you how they're doing and it's good, praise God. Let that be your response. Praise God. In your speech to one another, magnify the name of the Lord. As you talk to one another, you should literally, I just want to challenge you. When we say amen today, walk around calling each other blessed. And then say, praise God. You can do this in your prayer. So when you pray, seek to bless God. You can recite this text. You can recite, for instance, 1 Chronicles 29. In 1 Chronicles 29, David is praying and he says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Let that be an example. As you pray, start your prayers with that. Read the Psalms. I'll give you another psalm as an example. Psalm 113 says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above all the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap and makes them to make them sit in with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren women a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord in your prayer. Set out some specific time in your prayer to do this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You should bless the Lord through song. So we sing songs based not on how relevant they are to people. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure we could find some songs that are new and hip and have like guitar solos and Zeke could just shred it, right? And it'd be really cool. But the reason we sing is not to appeal to our own ears or to attract young people, or even to result in an emotional response, but it is primarily to bless the Lord. That is why we stand and sing. It's to bless the Lord. Think about the lyrics that we're singing today. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Do you know what an Ebenezer is? Yeah, it's just a reminder. It is a reminder. It's a blessing to God. It is a praise symbol to God. We are setting up. We sing these things. We hear these words. They stoke in our heart the fire of the truth of the goodness of Jesus, and they cause us to bless the Lord with our singing. You should sing with vigor and joy. God, we've been on Maui for a while, and from the very first time I ever saw Raymond lead music, we started talking about it. Like, he's always smiling while he's singing. You should try to sing like Raymond. You should stand, you should smile, you should sing vigorously with joy. It's kind of like an American thing to like, and the response is like, yeah, God hears my heart. God does hear your heart, but he commands you to sing with your mouth. Stand, sing vigorously with lots of joy because of the goodness of Christ. You should also sing at home with your family. I would encourage you to, there's lots of really good hymnals that you can buy and have in your home, and you should have your kids or your spouse, you should gather together and just sing songs and bless the Lord through song. The last way you can do this morning is you can come to church ready to bless the Lord. Come to church ready to bless the Lord. So this is a unique letter. This letter stands out from Paul's other letters, and a lot of scholars like to think that this might have actually been a sermon that Paul preached, and then it was later transcribed and like adjusted to make it letter format. And the reason they think that is because it's so liturgical. Have you guys ever heard that term? Liturgy? So there's a liturgical structure in terms of like how it identifies the Trinity and the way that it flows and stuff like that. And liturgy is just a really fancy way. It literally means work of the people or duty. There's a sense of duty. And that's like the least modern Christian idea you can have about worship, right? Because as modern Christians, we think, well, I come to worship for me. I come to worship to get what I need. But what we see is the command, the call, the example of blessing the Lord. And that's why we structure our service fairly intentionally. So you see a call to worship, which is designed to stoke your heart. You're hearing the word of God. It's designed to warm your heart to God. We have a song of adoration. What is that? Adoration. You're simply adoring God for who he is, blessing the Lord for his goodness. Confession and assurance of forgiveness. You're acknowledging your need for God and the fact that he has forgiven you and that you stand righteous before him in Christ. Song of response. You're responding to the goodness of God that has been explained to you from his word. Sending and benediction. You are sent out as a blessing into the world, and you are blessed as you go. That's what a benediction is. And I want to challenge you, as you come on Sunday mornings, I want to challenge you not to dismiss these structures, not to dismiss the title on the bulletin where it says Song of Adoration. I want you to say Song of Adoration. That is my goal for this song. I want to challenge you to get ready for the Lord's day. So I know we all stayed up really late last night. Everybody? No? I took a nap before midnight. So that's fine. You should stay up on New Year's Eve. But maybe it shouldn't be the norm. Maybe Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening would be a really good time to start gearing your family up for the Lord's day. I'll give you an example of how we do this. So TV screens, they turn my children's brain to mush. It's just like poi in their head, right? That's what TV does to their brains. So family movie night for us, if we're going to have one, is a Friday night thing. So that Saturday night, they can get to bed at a somewhat reasonable hour. Their brains aren't poi. And we can come to worship Sunday morning ready to pay attention. That's the goal. And I want to challenge you to be intentional about your Saturday evening, your Sunday morning, maybe get up a little earlier, and be ready to come here and bless the Lord. Don't come here selfishly. Bring all your needs. We want the needs. But don't forget that you are called to bless the Lord for all of the good things that He has given you, all the ways that He has blessed you. Come together on Sunday mornings and bless the Lord. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Final word this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, I just want you to know He is available. If you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, Jesus is Lord, turn from your sin, He will save you. You will be called blessed. You will be adopted. You will be made a child of God. And all that we've discussed this morning will be yours in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for all the things that You have done for us in Christ. We praise You, Lord. We ask that You would help us now to bless You through song. And as we take the Lord's Supper, we pray that You would do all this for Your namesake. Amen.